Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
And we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for giving me the opportunity to come before you this day to tell you what God has for you. And God has a word for you that is tailor-made for you. He's going to transform your life like never before. Good morning again. My name is Dr. June Normill, and I'm here to bring you forth on Breakthrough Broadcast, A Rhema Word from God. And we're going to be talking about Understanding the Call of God, Part 1. Again, the topic is Understanding the Call of God. And I want you to get a pencil and some paper. You get your tape recorder, anything that you can write down or you can record what I'm going to be talking about today, because God has given us some rhema nuggets that will help us to be able to understand our call and the reason why he created us. Amen? So I'm going to be talking and coming from the Bible, the King James Bible version I'm going to be reading from, and we're going to be coming from John 3:16, also Luke 14:26-33, if God allow us to have time to do that. And we're going to be coming from Ephesians 4:11-12. Amen. Amen. Also, during the reading, I'm going to be talking also elaborating on Matthew 4:18-22. So again, that's Matthew 4:18-22. Also, John 3:16, Ephesians 4:11-12, and also, if time prohibits, we have been listening to Luke 14:26-33. Again, we talk about understanding the call of God, part one. And what does the word call mean? Well, the word call has many different definitions, but using it in the right context, it makes all the difference and makes the meaning more effective. And we're going to be talking about biblically speaking of the word call, saying, you ever heard someone say, God have a calling on your life, or God has a call on my life, or someone may have told you God have called you to do a certain thing, and you wonder, what have God possibly called me for? But God has called everyone, everyone that's created, he had called everyone for a certain purpose, a certain assignment that he wants you to do. And no one could do it just like you. And biblically speaking, in this context, the word call means sent from elsewhere. It's a voice to summon or either to invite. That's what call means. That comes from a Greek word that's pronounced as metapempho. And that word is spelled metapempho. And that's a Greek word. Metapempho is a Greek word that derives from the word, the English version, call. God has a call on our life. So the first thing God does is he calls us. And God have a lot of calls that we could go to, a lot of calls he have called us to do. God called us to salvation. He called us to sanctification. He called us to service. He called us to vocation and our accountability. It's so many calls God has given each and every one of us. Some of us have the same calls. Some have different calls. But we have so many different ones. But I'm going to be talking today, and specifically just focuses on two of them, is the salvation, the call of salvation, also the call of service. So you wonder, did God call me? Yes, God has called you, and he called you for a special task that only you can do. And a lot of times, people think that just lay persons, I mean, in clergy persons, people who church, they only want God called them to do something, but no. No matter what state you in and where you are right now, God have a calling on your life. And it may not be to do the same thing that someone else is doing, but he have a calling on your life, and he have an assignment that he has called for you to do. And you could find out after I keep talking about this today, and then either also in part two, the more we talk about and discuss it, you'll be able to see some of the things that God has given us, and you'll be able to find your way to know what God has called you to do. And a lot of times people get it confused with their abilities or their dreams or their vision or things they like to do, and they consider that might be their call. But we're going to know today the exact call what God has called you to do. And again, the word call means sent from elsewhere. It's a voice that summons, that means it summons you and it invites you, it calls, it's sent for you. And we're going to talk about the call of salvation, because that's the first call that God gives to not a particular person, not to a certain class of people, but to everybody. God calls for everybody that he create to come to salvation. And he will all of us have that same call. If we don't have anything else alike, we all have the call of salvation that God has that's for all of us. But unfortunately, everyone didn't answer the call of God, or they won't answer his call. And that's true, because if you look at John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the call God called for us. And again, the definition was saying that the sent from is a voice. It's a voice that summons and invites. What happened is God sent Jesus. That's that voice from heaven. God sent Jesus to earth. But we have an opportunity to be able to be called to his own. We're his own. And through Jesus Christ, that's how God called us, to be able to come to him. And we can't get to God no other way but through Jesus Christ. It's that voice that goes vertical. God have a vertical relationship with us, each and every one of us. It's from heaven to come right down to earth. Heaven is where God is, and earth is where we are. And so what God do, he call his superpower for heaven to come down to earth with our natural state we are, and he give us that supernatural power from God and the Holy Ghost. And we accept him as being our Lord and Savior to give us the strength and that power to be children of God, to be born again, and the Holy Ghost to give us that power to be able to live that life and to be able to walk that walk and be able to fulfill the call that God has given us. So we know God has given us that power, and he has given us that gift of salvation only if you answer the call yes to Jesus. But Jesus being our Lord and Savior, and being our Lord and Savior, and that's the only way God is going to call us to be able to do fulfill this law, fulfill his goodness and the call he gave us, is we accept Jesus Christ as being our Lord and Savior. Not saying things, but God allows certain things, and things don't always seem nice, things don't seem happy. People allow bad things and things to happen and come about because God is also in control. But it still calls us to know that because of him and because of Jesus, we'll be able to go and endure it through the Holy Spirit. Amen? So God called all of us into salvation. Everybody, they're going to be our first call into salvation. And once we have given God our life, we ask a yes to the call of salvation, it's a price to come with that. And I know a lot of times, sometimes you may have heard and people say, once you give your life to the Lord, once God have called you into the household of faith and we become saved and born again believers, everything is going to be peaches and cream. You're going to be like roses and just smelling the petals and walking through the meadows. No, that's not the whole benefit of it. When we become a born-again believer, we answer the call of salvation to God. God give us what? He give us what we need to endure. But we will have to go through some trying times, but he promised that he would never leave us, nor will he forsake us. You're going to have a lot of benefits in salvation when we answer the call of God of being born-again and believer. We're going to have many benefits. And guess what? There are going to be also a lot of requirements, a lot of accountability that come with that. We got to be able to count the cost of being able to fulfill the call of God that's on our life, because even when we agree, when we say yes to the will and the call of God to our life, that doesn't stop the enemy, that doesn't stop Satan from being able to come and try to throw things against us and try to trap us and try to cause us to fall. But even in that, we're not going to even ponder on that, because even if Satan doing what he called to do, and guess what? And what he do, God also giving us what we need. And we know greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus fighting with us. We have the blood of Jesus. And we know we are more than conquerors, because we still going to be able to endure only when we give our yes to the call of God, to whatever he called us to do in any area. But in salvation, we know that we're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to endure some things, but we won't be there alone. And a lot of times, a lot of people see they call in and they see what it is, and it don't be so happy. It don't be so bright. And so what they do, they'll give up on it. But God wants you to continue to just strive to answer that call. Let's look at Matthew 4, chapter 4, and verse 18 through 22nd. That's Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22nd. And it reads, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship in Zebedee, their father, mended their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed Jesus. A lot of times when God calls us to do things, we might not have no understanding about what he's talking about, why he's talking to us and saying these things, us to call us to do a certain thing. But in answering God's call, it's going to have to be strictly obedience and faith. You're going to have to obey God, and you're just going to have to trust him. You're just going to have to trust him. Because we got to understand the sovereignty of God. And what the sovereignty of God is, it means that God could do what he wants to do, to whom he wants to do it, and when and how he wants to do it. God is all powerful. He's in control of everything. And God is just that kind of God. He has that power to do that. He don't have to answer to anybody. In other words, God is in control. And our relationship with God, it depends on his call. It depends on our relationship with God. It depends on his call. It depends on his call. In our relationship with God, it depends on his call. So if we answer the call, it let us know what kind of relationship we have with God. Same thing with us. When you have your children or you have someone you may be in authority over, you may ask them to do something. And when you ask them to do a certain thing, you look for them to do it. You don't look for them to have no excuse. You don't look for them to have no reason why they can't do it or what if you don't want to hear why they say they can't do it. That's it. You just want them to do it. And that's how it is with Jesus. When he asked us, God got a call on our life, he expects us to do what he asked us to do. He called us. He don't want no excuses. He don't want no reason. But the difference is God, he's given us our free will. He's not going to impose himself and on us to make us follow his call and to make us answer the call. But one thing about it, when the Bible says, my sheep know my voice and the stranger won't follow. When you know your father's voice and your mother's voice in the natural, it's your job, it's your duty to want to please them. Even if you don't understand what they're asking us to do, even if you don't want, you may not want to wash dishes, but they know what's best. And if you don't do it, you know, we deal with consequences. And that's the same thing is with not answering, obeying, and not having faith in the call of God. When we choose no, not to answer, and we don't, we hold back, we find reason not to follow it, we have to deal with consequences. We have to deal with different things that are come up against us. And not saying that if you do give in and you do say yes to the will and call of God, you won't have to deal with that. You still got to deal with it. But it's better to be in the will of God than out of the will of God, because it's no more our will, it's God's will, because we have given our life to him and we are no longer controlled to have over us, ourselves, and our mind what we want you to do. We to get rid of our mind, lose our mind, and take on the mind of Christ, and we to be obedient to the Father. And if you look back on chapter 4, verse 18, it talks about as Jesus walking, he saw two brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. They were brothers, and guess what they were doing? They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishing. That was their job. That was their livelihood. That's what they were doing. They were just casting the net out there. They were fishing. And all of a sudden, Jesus came up to them, and Jesus said, follow me, and I make you fishers of men. Right there, they said, right, the scripture said, and they followed. They stopped right there, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus was concerned. He said, no, what I'm going to do? He didn't say, I'm going to make you greater fishers because y'all are fishermen. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Our call, whenever God calls you to a certain thing, it's going to always be for the benefit of somebody else. It's going to always be for the benefit or expanding the kingdom. It's going to also be to the benefit of redeeming man back to God. It's some kind of way that you're going to be able to point to others, point to someone else to lead them right back to Christ, to expand the body of Christ, to expand the world in a godly way. You're going to be something to benefit someone else. That happened between the two brothers, Simon and Peter. They didn't even hesitate. They just dropped their nets, and they said immediately they went and just followed. They just followed Jesus. What are you willing to drop and just follow Jesus immediately? What is it? Is it a person, a place, a thing that you just willing to do? Just drop it. When Jesus said, come follow you, he have asked us, and it ain't always that easy. It depends on the relationship you didn't even have. They didn't have a relationship with him, but they knew him. They knew of him. They did something about it. Your spirit of their witness with God, when God asked you to do something, he called you to a certain call, cause for the kingdom. Your spirit will bear witness to what it is. Should I do it? Should I not do it? It's when you get, and it comes again with the cost of having that relationship with God. Because if not, if we don't have a relationship with God to be able to know his voice, to be able to know his word, to know what to say. This don't sound like my father. He's not going to tell me to do something outside his word. He's not going to ask you to go nowhere or do something outside his word. So you'll know the call of God by your relationship you have with him. And that will happen with the two brothers, Simon and Peter and Andrew. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they were casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishing. And it was all where Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Something that you're good in, whatever your occupation may be, whatever you may be good at, Jesus could use that same gift, talent that he had given you. And where you were, even in the workplace, he could cause that to be your call, to be able to know how to draw people in your workplace, to be a marketplace Christian, to be able to draw people and know that, use your skills. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He expanded the kingdom. That's what he wanted to do. And they immediately dropped their nets, and they began to follow. They begin to follow Jesus with no words about it. And when Jesus asked us to do something, he asked us to do something. It's right then. He's not making a compromise. He's not making no compromise. We're trying to make no decision. Okay, let's go on to the next one. They say, and then they follow him. And then straight away left their nets and followed him. Straight away, they didn't waste no time. They threw, that was their livelihood. They didn't bother. They say anything about their family members. They say anything about their friends. And the reason they didn't say nothing about it, because it's relevant. And anything we don't know in the Bible, is irrelevant to even hear about it. Sometimes Jesus mentions certain things happen to people. He didn't even give a name to some people. He said a certain woman or a certain man. It's irrelevant. It don't stop the cause or the purpose what God had called them for. So straight away, they left their net. And going on from this, verse 21, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship. And Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. He called them just like he seen that he called Andrew, and he called Peter. He called them, so he called James and John. And guess what? They left their father, and just right then, they left him and just followed Jesus. They was mending their nets, and then so one thing about it, their father was there with them. The Bible didn't mention anything about. They had a long conversation. They want to explain to the father, or the father didn't want to talk to them about, y'all know what y'all doing, y'all making a mistake. None of that was said because, no, guess what? It's irrelevant. It didn't even matter. The only thing God is showing us in his word is immediately they left their ship and their father. It didn't say just their ship. They left the father too, and they followed him. Sometimes it may cause you to have to leave your family members to be able to walk, to answer the call that God has called you to do, the things that he wants you to do to build up the kingdom, to expand the kingdom, to even to win some people to Christ. If you think about the first two, they got Peter and Andrew, his brother. Guess what they were doing? They were fishing just like James and John were. They was what? Casting their nets. So what they was doing, they were casting their nets out. They mean they cast nets out, that means what? They would draw fish in. They was catching fish. And Jesus knew that. So he said, I'm going to make y'all fishers of men. The way y'all catch fish, I want y'all to be able to catch souls, win souls like that. I'm going to give y'all some strategic, creative ways to be able to catch people, to win souls, just like y'all do fish. Because they were casting it out. So they was going out, winning souls, catching fish. And guess what? And you look back down further, they talk about John and James. Guess what they were doing? They also were fishermen, but they weren't casting out their net. What were they doing? The Bible say in verse 21, say they was mending their net. And when you mend the net, what you do with a net, a mend is something like you sew. And what they did was they were sewing the nets together to keep the fish or whatever go in that net for getting out. That's what they were doing. Peter and James, Peter and Andrew were catching the nets, catching the fish. And then guess what? James and John were what? Mending them. When they get the fish in there, they were mending nets for whatever come inside that net, the hole will be grabbed up so close that they can't get out. And God has used as a metaphor to show you how that their call also was what? To build the kingdom. It was to expand the kingdom because Peter and Andrew, what they're doing, they were bringing the net, their brain, they were casting the net, they were bringing the people, they were bringing the souls well to church. They were bringing to the house of God. They were bringing to the house of God for what? They could be tutored. They could be learned. And they could be grow, and they could be productive women and men of God, but they'd be able to grow in the body of Christ, into the word and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They'll become the church. And then after Jane and John, when they got their net, they mend them. What they do to your men? You close it together so they can't slip out. And that was the purpose of their call, for God calling them to mend nets. But when the body and the people of Christ come into the church, they'll be able to cause people to stay there. Have you ever seen situations where people come into the church, they'll come into the house of God, but guess what? They don't stay. They don't stay because guess what? The holes that had came about that. Some kind of way, that net, that same net, that had got holes in it. And guess what? It was a minute, it slipped out. And that's how it is when they come to church. People are coming to church, they get into the body of Christ. I'm just saying, even around a Christian, it could be in the workplace. We either get the people, get it when they get around us. We be able to the men relationships. We are be able to mend our lifestyle, to close up a lifestyle, they'll be able to see God, to be able to see Jesus in us, and it will cause them to be able to stay there and grow and be nourished and get what they need to be taught, what they need to learn, but they'll be able to go out and do the same thing, be reproductive of what they have just received. And that's what it's all about. Even in that, you've seen that God calls them to what? To be able to expand the kingdom, to build the kingdom up. That's why it's going to take requirement that it takes that. It wasn't easy for them, but it was obedience to what they did. Not saying that it didn't hurt them to leave James and John, to leave their father. And, you know, they had a mother. You know, they loved ones and everything. But they know that when God called them, it's a better way. It's a better place, because we all came to ourselves. It's important for us to be able to help us to die to our flesh and the call of God. Because if we don't die to our flesh, we be stuck to what our feelings. That's why the dead people, guess what? They don't feel anything. And I can remember our overseer, Dr. Mary Russell Jones, when we have situations, certain things going on, they want to complain about. All the things she would tell us, you need to die. You need to die. And what she mean by that, to this flesh, to the tangible stuff, we have to die, because dead people don't feel anything. When a person dead, they don't feel nothing. That's why we have this flesh that got to die, and we'll be in the face of God. That not saying that it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you to have to leave your family. Not saying you're going to have to leave like they did, and they did that. But who knows? You may have to. You can live what God calls Abraham. God calls Abraham what? He said, I want you to leave your family, leave your kindred. I'm going to take you somewhere you don't even know where you're going at. But because of even Abraham, obedience and faith, he done that. And guess what? It worked that good. He came to Father faith because he obeyed God. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always easy. Even though God told him to leave, he tagged along his nephew Lot with him, and it caused some problems up and down the road. But guess what? Overall, he was able to glorify God and what he did by being obedient to God. And sometimes even when God calls us to do certain things, and you will have things come up against you, you might have your family member come up against you about the decisions you make or things you do. They might say you church too much, you go to church too much. They might say you don't became boring. You don't have fun anymore. The kind of fun we can do, maybe we can go out and drink. Maybe we go out and to the club. They might tell you, you know, going to the club a little time, you can dance a little bit. You can drink a little bit. It ain't going to hurt anything. But if God calls you with a holy calling, he's going to cause you to be dead to your flesh, to be able to be strong in the Lord, and the problems might be able to walk in the calling of God. And it sounds easy, and it's everything easy through God in Christ Jesus and by faith. But as long as we in this natural suit, this natural, tangible flesh suit, you're going to always feel natural fleshly pain. You're going to always feel that. But we know the real of us is a spirit, and God is in us, and we'll be able to endure all of that. But we'll know that God will give us the power to go through what he called us to go through, and he'll give us the power to endure what he called us to endure. So we just have to just hold on. And we know that God had called them to your four brothers, and they straight away they did that. And you look at their call, what they did, it drew people to Christ. It drew people to Christ, because I use a metaphor showing what it did to the church. He brought people to church. He was physical men. He brought people come into the body of Christ. Not so much that the church house itself is a mortar brick building, but even in your life, your surrounding, you are the church. When people come into your life, people God send to meet you, who you get to meet, you get to be around. That's our opportunity right there. To be able to win souls. That's our call right there, to be able to be fishers of men. You don't necessarily have to be part blank, you just go into the church building. It's everywhere you go, because we have to know when God has called us to be his child, and we answer yes to the call of God, guess what? We are then now, we have become the church. We have become the church. We are mobile vehicles of God. We are mobile tabernacles. We got the Spirit of God. We carrying it with us, and we are an example of what God had called us to be. And like I said, it will always be that easy because, well, a lot of times, because when you want to give it up, you don't want to be able to give it up, but you have to say, God, not my will, but let your will be done. And that's what it is. God just does that. And you think about even like James and John, when they was mending their net, they were sewing up the holes because they didn't want the fish to get out, nothing to get out. The same thing, we have to have that same net-like mentality, the knowing that God had called us, when people call our lives to hold that person and cause them to be able to just be strong, you know, cause them to be able to see Jesus in us for me to be able to just show them God and show them God everywhere. And once we have seen that, for example, there's certain things you might have to give up to be a sacrifice to follow God, to answer the call. You might have to, like I say, your family members, even some places you can't go anymore, things you can't even do anymore. Because I'm just telling you some of the positive and the true things that you we have to encounter. We know about the good things God given us. We know about going to heaven, but we want to talk about what we're dealing with while we're right here on earth. But it won't be no surprise. We just know truth. And because it's in the Bible, and it's showing you that all the people and all the different people that God has called in certain places do certain things, the things they had to sacrifice, the hardship they had to endure. When we look at the end, what it came out was, you even think about people's lives. God, people always came out at the end with the best, because our best, what we strive for, what we're looking for is what? To have eternity. To have eternal life, to be with God's presence, to be in the presence of God, and to live Him ever happily, ever after. And that's our purpose. That's what we strive to do. That's why we say yes to the call of God, for be able to be with Him for eternity. So we might as well do what it's going to take to do what it is we need to do to get with God for eternity. Because we did everything that God called us to do, guess what? Some of the sacrifice we got to do. And a lot of people think, oh, I'm not qualified. I'm not called to be that person because I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. And maybe my family, I wasn't raised in church. My mother and father, you know, my whole family just dysfunctional. And I don't know anything. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't have a grandmother like Betty Sue had a grandmother. They raised in the church. We didn't go to church. I didn't go to church. Maybe I just got saved 5 years or last week. It doesn't matter. God has a call on your life. God has a call. You do something different. He gave James and John, I use that metaphor. I use that example. It was something different they did. But guess what? Both of them were fishermen, and God had called you to be a fisherman, but they were doing different things. One was casting the nets, and guess what? That's drawing them in. And guess what? One other two brothers, they was mending nets. That were keeping the holes up, so when the fish come there, the people come there, what? It keep them from falling down. It keeps them from slipping through. So God got a call in your life. He got a gift. He gave you talent. He gave you abilities. And it's not so much that you just think you just have to be in the clergy. And a lot of times people think, if I'm not the pastor, or if I'm not a deacon, God didn't call me to do anything. God has called you to do everything, everywhere you go. I don't care where he called you to do everything. What I mean by everything is something you could do. Not everything is literally, but everywhere you go is something you could do. You may be at home. God called you to be a good example. Just say, or you have siblings younger than you. God called you to be a good example up to the younger ones, your young siblings, sisters, and brothers. God may call you just to be an example of your whole family, how to live right, how to endure. You think about it. It ain't always the one that's well-known. It ain't always the one that's always in the front. You might feel like you're an outcast. You might feel like no one never want to choose you. You may be in a situation you could be at work. You may could be at school. You could be somewhere in the community. You would gather around with other people. And when it's time to choose people, you may be one of those people, one of the person that they always overlook. You may be one of the people that always last to be chosen through any situation. But guess what? The Bible says the last should be first and the first should be last. God has not forgotten about you. God has called you with a holy calling. God has a purpose for you. He has a timing for you and your call. And if you may like to doing a certain thing, and it may not seem to be coming forth, and you may be like doing it. Maybe you just like doing office work because you like dressing up and you like just being around what so we quote call prestigious people. And it seems like it just came you can't be satisfied with. You like doing it because you like being around people. I'm just using that for a scenario, for example. But it just saying like something's still missing. Maybe that's not your call. Even though you like that, maybe that's just your dream. That ain't what God called you to do. And that's why you're going to always feel that. You're going to feel this gap. You're going to always feel this void. No matter what you may be doing, if you're not doing anything outside the call of God, you're doing it and it's being done fulfilled, but it's always going to be that voidness. You're going to be a voidness that you'll never have that peace, serenity about it, even though it may pay a lot of money, but it's going to always be a serenity that is not being met, a peace is not being met, no matter what it is. Maybe you might be being met financially, maybe with prestige, you might be well known, but if that ain't what God called you to do, you're going to always have this little gap. You're going to be a space for a void to be there because that's not what God called you to do. And God take the foolish things to confound the wise. You never know how God just do things. You just look at David, for example. You would think where he had all his brothers. His big brother, all of them brothers came right there. Seven came to just how he said your sons. They thought it would be Eli. They thought Eliab. They thought if his big brothers, who warriors, looked good, strong. But guess who it was? One was nowhere in sight, David, in the bank. Tended to sheep. And see, even God, he was in the background, but guess what? He was already called by God. And he was already in training, being sheep with the sheep. And God called him to be a shepherd. He was over sheep and sheep. And he called him to be over a whole nation. Same thing with you. Don't be discouraged if you feel like you left out. You're not left out. God said, I know the thoughts I have of you and the plans I have for you. And you stay just right there. It's definitely to God tell you to move. And it's not all about this. And a lot of times people think it's about the clergy. Just turn to Ephesians 4:11, and it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you're not named one of those titles in your church or in your life, guess what? It's okay. It's okay. Maybe God did not call you to be there, but you know God called us to salvation. You're a child of God. God got a different calling for you, and you know less than anybody else who had my hair on that title, and they know more than anybody who don't have that title. God called us to service and vocation, and now we know that God called all of us. Just think about you grab, when you go fishing, if you put to get a net, and you put a fish in that net, and you get all the fish in, it's all kind of fish. It's always more. It's not just one thing, it's all kind of fish. And that's what it is when God sent Jesus. He was fishing. He grabbed all of us. We all took the type of fish that was caught in the net of Jesus' love. All of us caught in the net of Jesus' love. And the same thing, God had given you a gift. He had given you a talent. He had given you ability to do what? To be able to do a service. God called us into service. Like I said, he gave us a lot of accountabilities and things, a lot of things to do. But we focus on what salvation and the service of vocation, the service of God. You have something that you can do that nobody can do it like you, no matter what it is. Even if you have the spirit, you have the gift, God called you to be a hospitable person. You got good hospitality. You know how to make people feel at home. When people just get around you, you know how to just make them embrace them. You don't have to say a word. Your love, just being around them, your smile, it just embraces them. You probably, in a lot of times, you look like you could be the usher at a church. Because when the first people, before they see anybody else, the first people they see, what, is the usher. And you got that beautiful spirit, and I'm telling you, because your gift, your calling of even being an usher, it may seem that's all you do is more like a serve people, you greet them. Your greeting, your anointing, your call dictates to how that fish will come into that church. I'm calling fish and talking about people coming to that church and stay or not. If you got a bad spirit, God ain't called you to be no usher. But you feel like that's easy for me to do, I'm going to just be an usher. And you got the wrong attitude about it, and you turn everybody off soon they get. You get in arguments with the people, the visitors. You get in an argument with everybody, and you're not smiling, you're not friendly. That's not your call. That's for your convenience. What you want to do, God ain't calling you to be no greeter. If you're going to be mean and hateful, and he said he can't use you, but he ain't called you to use you for that. He might use you somewhere in the background. You do something a little edifying for the body where you could be a task-oriented person. You could work by yourself and not around too many people. because that's just not you. But you got the love of God in you, you're going to have to learn. And like I say, it's called relationship with God. The more Jesus you get in yourself and the more Jesus we get in ourselves, the more love we can give out to others. That means we got to just check our relationship game and see where we stand with God, because how we stand with God is going to go what? It's going to go horizontal to how we reach out to others. So we being mean to each other and stuff and everything like that, evidently we ain't been spending no time with God, because guess what? Same like spirits connect. And God is all about love. Amen. And so God, looking at what God has called you to do, like I said, we're talking about the service God called you to do. We're talking about the service he called you to do. And you think about it, say, why did God call me? I mean, see, like everybody got the best job. Everybody, being out front ain't always the best job. It is not the best job. Your best job is whatever job God gave you to do. That's the best job for you. That's the best job for me. It's not that what we see other people do. That is what God called us to do. And it's going to be very unpleasant. And it's going to be very voidful if we're trying to do something that God did not call us to do. Not saying it can't be done, but you're going to always miss. It's going to be a void missing what God called you to do. And not only that, it's like I said, our call is going to benefit the body. And the body of Christ, the kingdom of God is going to suffer because we are not doing what God called us to do, because that void is right there. It's that picture, that puzzle right there with our name on it is not in place. Until we get in that place, that's when it's going to be fulfilled. And I'm saying that's going to be on the call. God go from one call to the other, led by the Holy Spirit, that God do whatever he wants to do. So we have to just know that the purpose of our call, we say, why God call us anyway? You know, once we are giving ourselves to God by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we belong to Jesus Christ. If you look at Romans 1:6, it said, among whom are ye also the call of Jesus Christ? The ultimate purpose for God calling us is to do his work. That's the ultimate purpose of God calling us to do his work. God called us to a particular in his mission. God called us to participate in his mission for what? To redeem the world. That's it. That's the only reason why we are called to participate in his mission to redeem the world. He could have did it, so he created the world, but he loved us. He wanted to share with us, have us to have the opportunity to do what he did, how we could win people back, to bring people back to him. Same thing like he sent Jesus to us to win us back to God. He sent Jesus. Same thing God had did for us. And also Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works which God has before he ordained us, that we shall walk therein. Wherever you see others in any way, you are answering. Whenever you serve others, whenever you serve others, you are actually serving God, fulfilling one of your purposes God had given us. Whenever you serve people, you're fulfilling a purpose God had given us, because we call it a service. We call it service. And you see how Peter, James, and John and God had given us. I mean, giving us the example of how we're to do, staying our call is different for how we need to build up the kingdom. And our call is going to always edify others. It's going to always build up the kingdom. If you think about now, I'm getting ready to close out, so I'm just going to book draft basically what we talked about. You got to think about when you talk about the call of God, talk about the salvation. John 3:16 say, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. And then that's always going to get to God. We got to go through Jesus Christ, the call of salvation. And you got to count the cost. It ain't always going to be easy. Luke 14:26-27 and 33, you got to give a total commitment. It talks about, I'm not able to read all that, but you can read that. Luke 14:26-27 and 33, it talks about the total commitment. You talk about hating your mother and father. It don't really mean that you got to literally hate them as being angry. That he's talking about you can't let them stand in your way. You can't let them stand before you. At that call, he used mother and father. He know they're very valuable, so they're very important in our lives. But we can't let nothing stand in our way when God calls us to do a certain thing, because we know it's working out for the good. God ain't going to call us to leave our family to do anything and not replace with nothing that's going to glorify him and upbuild the kingdom. And also, we know that we can't do this alone. It can't come along with our education. It can't come with our knowledge, our understanding, everything we have with God. It can't come like that. You're going to have to just come through directed by the Spirit of God. We can't do none of this without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In essence, the essence of the new life is that you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will give you the power and lead you into all truth. as you answer and walk through the field, I will call to God. And then guess what? You just have to know that we have to become like a seed. We have to become a seed. We have to die. We have to die. We have to start over our new life. When we give our life to Christ, we are already right then start our new life with Jesus Christ, and this calls us our old thing. You can't get a new life unless you get rid of the old life. We have to cast all these old things away. When we became born again believers, God was giving us what we need to do to be able to endure. And just think about it, it won't be in vain. You have nothing to lose, but you have everything to gain. Answering your call, it's not in vain. You're not going to miss anything you already have. If you ain't got it by now, you ain't even going to get it. And anything this word is temporary we could touch, it just seems temporary going to go. But God wants to get to a place where we can strive to have eternal life with him, to be able not only for us, but while we're here, be able to grab and have people to get there with us. Amen. Because Mark 28 through 30, Mark 10, 28 through 30, we let you know, whatever you have given up in this life, in this world, in the world to come, and with persecution, Jesus promised to give you a better and more in the new life. To find a new life, you have to lose the old life. God is faithful. God bless you. And I pray that these nuggets, I pray that the word of God that God has given us today would give us a better, give us a greater understanding about understanding the call of God. It's so depth. It's so much into it. But God had given me two parts of this. I mean, just talking about understanding the call of God. And that's part one. And next time we meet again, I'll be talking about the same topic, but we'll be talking about part two. We'll be talking about the call and the driven, about the calling, God calling, the call and the driven. God bless you. And remember that preaching has been good and teaching make you feel right and make you feel good and make you live good. God bless you. Until we meet again, this is your host for today, Dr. June Mel. God bless you.